To remind all participants, this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you, Kelly. All right. We are without staff at the moment, although Gisela, I'm told, is on Adobe, but should we have any emergency where Adobe is still working. On the call so far, we have Siva, Cheryl Lang-Denor, Mikey O'Connor, Alan Greenberg, James Bledel, Ron Rickersham, Jeffrey Echoes, Oliver Hope, and Paul Diaz. Our agenda today is relatively simple. We're simply going to continue going through the public comments tool that Marika has put together for us and addressing the other issues. First, however, I'd like to review the ones we've done so far, 1 to 17, to the extent that anyone has found that there are comments there that did not reflect what we said or should be augmented. Have there been anyone who's gone through it and found anything that we need to address, or can we assume those are all legitimate and will go into the final documents? Not seeing any hands nor anyone calling out. We'll accept them as accepted. All right. The first item, let me get back to the right screen. As I mentioned earlier, I'm going to be trying to take some brief notes and looking at a paper document. So to the extent that I miss someone's hand being up, just yell out or someone tell me. And everyone should have scrolling privileges, and we're on number 18.
Which is page 5.
Just at the bottom, correct. All right, this was a comment from ALAC. There might be a need for some limited exceptions to the outcomes identified in the comment above, which was listing various expectations. ALAC also recognizes the role best practices may play above the minimum set of requirements as identified above. I have a comment that I think the summary is inaccurate, in that the comment that ALAC really made said, over and above these minimum requirements, the ALAC supports a move within the registrar community to establish meaningful and transparent concept of best practices, which says we appreciate the value of best practices if indeed they are given some level of formal or even informal meaning. Any other comments on the overall point?
Hey, Alan, it's Jeff. I'm sorry.
Sure.
I lost you on the last thing, what you said about best practices. I just wanted to, if you could clarify that, not about what, you know, just what you mean by the best practice when you say informally or formally, what does that mean? I'm just unclear.
I can help
anybody
if you like.
Can explain it. Yeah, please do. I'm just not clear what that.
Well, it's all very nice for the ALAC to, bang outside the plastic doors going, you need best practice. It's utterly meaningless unless the supply side of the community decide that these are best practices and they have agreed and developed them and they have some meaning for those who will be practicing them. So it needs to be a best practice for industry.
Okay. All right. So it's the standard. What you're saying is standard sort of definition for what a best practice is. Nothing above and beyond that.
Well,
I just believe that's what the standard definition is. I just wanted to be clear if there was something above and beyond that.
No. As an example, if there was a seal of approval, type thing that if one met all of the best practices, a registrar could display a logo or something.
Yeah. Then
it's not the most meaningful thing in the world, but it gives some. It gives a registrant some comprehension of whether this registrar is following, quote, best practices or not. That's not the only way it could be embodied, but that's an example.
Right. Because I've been looking it up since then, and I believe that there's no, official piece of what a best practice is or definition anywhere. It's always used, as an example, here's an example of best practices, but I don't think it's very hard to find an official one. But, the reason why I think it might be difficult to say about the seal or something like that is there are two parts of that. Is one is, remember that registrars are all competitors, and, you know, we don't, it would be tough, you know, while we do cooperate and talk to each other and participate in these working groups, we all still are competing with each other. So, and we don't have like an industry trade group that has like its own group of people that, you know, like, say, I don't know, you know, like certain trade groups like Dairy Farmers Association, and they have their own CEO and their own organization that can give like a seal on it. We don't really have that for registrars, so I don't know how we would be able to accomplish something like that. Not, I know what you're saying, not, you don't need a seal, but, you know, above and beyond just the document, I don't know how we'd be able to accomplish that as a group of competitors.
Okay,
Mikey,
Mikey first.
Sorry, it took me a sec to get off mute. This is Mikey. I don't want to wade too deep into this, except to point out that the RAP working group recommended that the GNSO launch a PDP to establish best practices in that arena, and we're just in the very early sort of drafting stages, pre-charter on that one. And one of the things that we decided was that this particular project is going to be a little more complicated than normal because this is the first formal best practices PDP that the GNSO has undertaken. And Jeff, I think a lot of the stuff that you're raising is ground that that RAP best practices PDP may have to cover. Because you're right, up until now, we haven't done one like that, and we're going to have to figure a lot of that stuff out. But by the time this one, if it makes it to the council, does make it there, I would hope that the RAP one would be at least well underway and may have gone a long way in terms of fleshing out some of the questions that you're raising.
James and Jeff.
Cheryl, you had your hand up also.
I'll get back to me, James and Jeff.
Okay, well, I was next, but we'll let James and Jeff go first anyway. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you, Alan and Cheryl. This is James. And I guess I'm just a little intrigued, Mikey, that we would have a PDP that sets out from the beginning to develop best practices. Almost sounds like it should be a BPDP, but that's probably a discussion for another day. I just want to echo a little bit what Jeff says. I think that because we're competitors, best practices generated by registrars are a good idea. And, in fact, I think that it's worked well in other abuse circles where we're able to, you know, bring best practices to the table and say, this is what we're doing, let's make it better, or who wants to copy this process. But, you know, for the most part, best practices will be necessarily vague and implemented differently or, you know, amongst all the registrars, depending upon their business model. And they'll also be voluntary because there's no way for one registrar to enforce compliance with a best practice on another registrar. But I think that Alan is onto something where you can take away a credit or a benefit like a seal or a gold star next to their name or whatever, but you can't actually have any punitive effect.
Okay, thank you.
Just in the line, but if I can take my space after James, and then Alan, you hop in wherever you want. But what I wanted to say, just remind you all of, is of course that there are examples, at least in the CC world, where they are still competitors in the industry, having formed under the regulator. In those cases, they're the various CC administrators, but you could do it under the GNSO or indeed ICANN, where an industry code of conduct, which is a great deal higher than a best practice because it does have teeth and it is enforceable, and in the case in some country codes, there is punitive action. So, you know, even in a competitive environment, industry can, without having a formalised lobby group, gather together and do all sorts of things on the scheme of things. So nothing's impossible, but and there are some examples even within the domain name industry, but that was all I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you. Jeff, did you have your hand up again?
Yeah, okay. No, it's from before. I somehow have a mic next to my thing now.
Okay.
We'll make it go away.
Yeah, it went back up again. I see you wanted to restart.
Now you have the right to speak. Okay, I see that. So one thing, you know, just not to belabor this, I agree with Mikey, you know, that it would be good if there was some other guidance on the best practice or the other piece. But what I was saying about the seal or the other piece, I know that Paul Diaz is mentioned in the chat. Like ICANN was going to say you could put up a seal if you signed the 2009 RAA or something like that. Remember, that is from ICANN, and I said I don't know who we could have as, you know, the governing body, or maybe it's the GNSO or ICANN, you know, that could put up, that could say, it would have to be ICANN, because somebody would have to check if you're in compliance with the best practice to be able to put something up or say that they have, or, I mean, we could put it as a stakeholder group out to our members and say we believe this is the best practices that, you know, we could come up with. But, you know, I think, Cheryl, what you were saying in the CC world and those sorts of things, and I know I'm probably opening up a huge can of worms here, but remember that a lot of those CCs are vertically integrated where the registry is also a registrar and they compete. So with the other registrar, so that registry has control over everything, and they're also competing as a registrar, so they could say, we as a registrar have this practice and make the others do it. It's different in the unlimited sort of GTLD world. But
of course, the one I'm specifically experienced with, that is not the case, of course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Australia is not vertically integrated, and I am the serving chair of the Industry Code of Conduct Group.
So who puts out that gold seal?
AEDA, the regulator.
Oh, so the registry puts out...
No, the regulator. We don't. We have Oz Registry run our registry for us, but we run that goes up for tender every 4 years.
All right, so it's OUTA, that is the one that gives it. Okay.
Exactly right.
So this would be, I don't know what, I guess the equivalent would be, I wouldn't say VeriSign or something, but I don't know if there is one.
Well, the terminology varies. If I may take my slot. First of all, with regard to the definition of best practices, I don't think there is a definition of best practices because the expression is used in several different forms. To go into a completely different world than domains, there may well be best practices that egg producers can use to minimize the chance of salmonella infection. But those are things which, you know, those are in fact best practices if you want to do that. Following those is not necessarily the seal of approval. Not having salmonella in your test is the ultimate test. So those are indeed best practices that someone would want to follow to achieve some particular end. The expression is also used, as we've been discussing it, you know, that goes along with a seal of approval or some other measure. We're using the expression without an asterisk and a footnote on it, saying which definition are we using, but I think it's the latter one that we have been talking about. But it's important to know that it isn't the only definition, and people can misunderstand us. With regard to the original comment that there is, you know, who would do this kind of thing, well, you know, as was pointed out, registrars don't have an industry association, but there's nothing to stop them from having one. Or maybe it's the registrar stakeholder group that does it. You know, some group that has an interest in seeing its members viewed in a good light by the users around the world. So the intent of the ALAC comment, which triggered this whole thing, was the concept of best practices will only have some meaning if there is an incentive for registrars to use it, to follow them, using any of the mechanisms. Ron, you're next.
Thank you. I'm always troubled by the best practices coming from a group such as us, because we may we may be able to judge that the effect of people following best practices is good, but to define the best practices versus a different outcome, that's why I kind of favor not going down the best practices route in our final report, because it essentially has no meaning because it didn't come from those who are would be expected to follow it. So the idea that there's no mechanism for compliance, but there's no reward for compliance either. So it essentially becomes meaningless, I think. So I'm in favor of not that being a desired outcome of our group.
I guess, Ron, I have a question on that. For the things that are not, you know, based on our final deliberations, not worthy or not judged to be something that should be consensus policy and required, what can we use as a lesser target to try to achieve something if it's not deemed to be absolutely required? I mean, we've been using the term best practice as an in-between level.
Right. I understand the dilemma, but and really can't offer a solution. It just seems to me that as a group organized to study the problem officially, then our report should involve official comments. We may make side comments, but to define a best practice as in our final report seems not consistent with what we're supposed to do.
I tend to agree. I think anything that we put into the best practice category is really an aside statement, a statement that we'd like to see someone do this, but it's not us.
Right. Understood. Thanks.
Yeah. If I may, Alan?
Yeah, just if we can address what's been going on in the chat. I don't think I've read all of it. Paul, in terms of the 2009 RAA, ICANN did have a seal which registrars could put on their website. I'm assuming that's in force, but I don't think it was anything further than they've signed the agreement. I don't think there was any compliance or monitoring or anything associated with that.
It could be, Alan. It's Paul. When it was first proposed, it was a more, as I recalled it, a more grandiose seal. It meant something more than simple signing. It was going to help to differentiate, distinguish, because the requirements and provisions of the new RAA were stronger than the old. They wanted to distinguish. Honestly, I don't even know how many registrars even put up the watered-down version.
I don't know.
Somebody said they signed.
There, at one point, ICANN's list of registrars had the symbol on it, but I noticed the current one doesn't bother doing that at all. I guess the opposite of what you're saying is that people have signed the agreement but aren't honoring it, and I would like to think ICANN's dealing with that in a different way than revoking a seal. Cheryl?
Thanks. Just to respond to what Ron was raising, I don't think, and first of all, let me track back and clarify slightly. What we're doing is working out how we respond to a comment that's come in from public comment. It happens to be the ALAC comment, so it happens to be something that some of us understand very well, or the rationale behind it understand very well. This work group, however, needs to work out how it responds to that comment. Now, I fully agree, not the place of a PEDNA work group to try and create, design, or really do other than if it feels that there is some merit in its deliberations and indeed the public comments in saying to the chartering organisation that consideration in the area of the wonderful world of best practices, it would be a very good idea in this and perhaps other parts of what the GNSO is interested in. I don't think we can go beyond that, Ron, but you do need to, as a work group now, decide what you say in the report, thank you, ILAC, we disagree. Thank you, ILAC, yeah. Or we heard you and we ignore you. I mean, there's a whole spectrum of options, but we do have to have some form of response. But I agree, this work group has no place in other than deciding, does it mention it as a recommendation possibility for further work in another sphere?
Yeah. Oh, that notwithstanding, I think this is the best practice discussion we've had in this work group. So I think it's been productive use of time. In terms of the response, I think we actually have a general consensus that agrees with the second part of the ALAC statement, that is, it might be interesting or might be useful to have some sort of seal of approval given by somebody which would allow best practice to have more meaning. It's not clear who gives that seal right now or what the process would be, but I think I've heard agreement from both registrars and users that there may be merit if there were such a thing. It's not this group's position to create it. But I think there does seem some general agreement in that we can put in our comments. In terms of the first half of the statement, saying exceptions might be needed, I am assuming nobody is objecting to that, and we can simply put a noted for that part. Seeing no hands, we have question number 19 now. Or comment number 19, this is from Jonathan Frakes, and the obvious solution to avoiding most post-expiration problems is to avoid expiration by paying the renewal fee on time.
Correct. Noted and agreed.
No, noted and agreed with. All we need is the mechanism to make sure that happens. And we'll go back to Jonathan and ask him what that should be. No comments. Comment number 20. An outcome of some best practices and or consensus policies that would reflect some minimum responsible baseline of conduct surrounding expiration of a domain from a consistent baseline structure of expectation can be formed and then socialized to the community would be welcome. Suggested comments?
Well, all I can say is I agree.
I say it.
But no surprises with you and I saying that.
I mean, if I was king, I would say that's our target.
Do you want to lump 18 and 20, the responses to 18 and 20 together, perhaps?
No, because I think the focus of 18 was not on was on the exceptions.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, not the focus. Certainly, half of it was. So I would not group those together.
Right.
Any comments from registrars? Are you agreeing? Therefore. Therefore, that the response is that's our target.
Paul.
Yeah, thanks,
Paul?
Cheryl. I guess as we've been kicking around already, the idea of best practices, to take Ron's point, where do they come from? Who's putting them together, and then who is going to enforce them? If it comes from within the registrar's group, and is enforced by ICANN under contractual terms, great. If it's by some outside group, then this is just, you know, Jonathan's idea is great, but it's kind of meaningless.
Well, he also does have best practices and or consensus policies.
Yeah, and the policy is obviously different than the practice.
You've got
Paul?
James, sorry.
I'm reading through this, and I apologize, I didn't read Jonathan's original comment in context, but it's not clear to me whether he's saying minimum responsible baseline of conduct, if he is referring exclusively to registrars in that regard, or if he's also including registrants in that regard as well, as far as, you know, tying back to his earlier comments about making sure that the renewal fees are paid promptly and on time. Do we have any indication from the original comment? Was he directing this solely at registrars?
Well, given that he's including consensus policies, I'm not sure how one could apply that to Red France.
And also the words that talk about socialize to the community, I think.
Some standard expectations that are socialized to the community.
To the community.
Do we have any thoughts on what we can say here? Is this, do we put a bland note in here, or
simply say this is
the substance of the discussions of this work group, and hopefully the results will please you. Obviously, there are different views on which way we want to go at this point. I haven't been following the chat. If there's anything there that warrants attention, someone should point it out. I see there's lots of words going on.
Mikey maybe should read that to the record that he's put into the chat, seeing as it's lengthy.
Yeah, sorry about that. I've been off on the RAP final report, sort of rummaging in the best practices part, and I pasted into the chat the definition that we used in our report, which in turn was lifted straight from Wikipedia, so take it, give it all the credibility that is associated with Wikipedia. I don't know, it's pretty long, I'd be happy to read it, but I'm not sure that it's useful right now. Basically, what I was going to build out was that from there I was going to paste in the recommendation. We had unanimous consensus on this, and it says the RAP working group recommends that the GNSO and the larger ICANN community in general create and support structured funded mechanisms for the collection and maintenance of best practices. And I just wanted to sort of tie those together since...
Okay. Mikey, I'll make sure that the chat goes into email for the public record, so a reference to it, people will be able to find it in our mailing list archives. All right. Hearing no comments to the on the negative of the response to 20 will be this is the substance of our discussions. Let's go on to 21. This is from the registry stakeholders group, and the wording is consistency and transparency are reporting, noting that the general idea of registrars displaying explicit information about their domain expiration process is helpful for registrants. Noted and agreed. Not hearing any negatives, we'll assume that's the answer. Is anyone still on the call with me?
Yes, Alan. But
Thank you.
The reason I'm silent is not multifold, but the main reason I'm silent on this is it's not just an exercise in going, yeah, we heard you. It's also an exercise in going, yes, we heard you, and this is where I know you didn't want 18 and 20 in any way coupled, but a number of these from this whole section could be responded to by, a paragraph or a group of sentences that recognise possible recommendations, other things that are going on, and the general belief or lack thereof that a clear and well understood understanding on both the sides of advertising and flagging of what is going to happen from the supply side, and an absolute understanding and ability for the demand side to actually do what it's undertaken to do is equally important. I mean, we've spoken around so many things, and it will be, the words are in the report. I'd sort of draw some connection back more than just noted and agreed. You know, noted and agreed, see where, I guess is what I'm asking for. Dear respondent number 21, to part 21, see this section of the report which outlines the mechanisms that, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't disagree with that. I put noted and agreed to see if anyone disagreed, because indeed we've had a lot of discussion around this about the difficulty, the perceived difficulty of registrars being explicit about what would happen and being clear and transparent about these processes, that there have been statements that this is very difficult for legal reasons and for competitive ones and various other things, and putting requirements in the in a consensus policy that things must be clear and there must be definitive statements. There have been comments that this is a very difficult thing to charge registrars with. So I said agreed somewhat tongue-in-cheek to see are we really agreeing with this.
Okay, well.
I mean, if we are agreeing with it, and our ultimate product reflects that, I'd be delighted. But I don't believe we've had consensus in this group before that is indeed the case.
I'm not hearing anything from anyone else, so
then
no point in me saying anything.
Then I'm assuming that we can say agreed and reference this as we start to decide on the actual outcomes of this product, of this work group. Number 22, the drop recovery policy is unfair. This is IR. I don't know who IR is. In any case, the drop recovery policy is unfair and would prefer a system whereby expired domain name registrations are allocated on a random basis. I'm assuming that this comment essentially says that things should go back into a pool of some sort and the registrar of record should not have access to it if indeed it does expire completely. Let me see if I can pull up what the actual comment was. I cannot right now. If that is indeed the case, I think that's out of our scope for this PDP.
And I think saying this is out of scope is a valid thing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to verify if indeed that's what the original comment meant. And somehow it's disappeared off of my many screens. Okay, pending a review to make sure that that's indeed the meaning, then I think out of scope is the answer to that. Next, business constituency. Consensus policy changes are required to correct issues within the domain expiration process in order to achieve the openness, transparency, predictability, as current inconsistencies lead to market confusion and in some cases create unfair market conditions. Is that in anything other than noted?
Thank you, James.
James?
I'm concerned that we might cut this comment short because did they elaborate or enumerate what inconsistencies? Did they provide any specifics at all? If it's just a general statement, then I would agree that we just mark it as noted, but
if you give
I wonder
me a moment,
if that can be unpacked or broken down in the original comment somehow.
If you give me a moment, I'll try to find it.
business constituency. It's a 15-page document, so I don't think we're going to talk about it at that level right now.
Okay. I see Mikey has his hand.
I mean, they answered point by point in the survey, addressed issues point by point in the survey. And
this is Mikey. Kind of gave the Barry no help at all in writing this, but I think that in our document we did have some details. I don't have the document handy either.
Yeah, I've got it in front of me, but it's larger than I can scan or skim. Marika's email or my email giving the first URL points to the email comments. So, James, you may want to scan it at your leisure and come back on the mailing list if there's something that you feel we need to revisit next time.
Okay, will do.
Next comment, we're on number 24 from Mr. Frakes again. Education is important as there is a lot of misunderstanding among registrants when it comes to the life cycle of domain name registration, and suggests that once the working group has finalized its recommendations, a diagram and narrative making clear the expectations and process surrounding the expiry of domain names would be developed.
Excellent idea.
Excellent idea. That presumes that we've simplified it from what it is today.
Well, it could be a really, really interesting diagram.
I'm not taking that on as doing it under today's set of rules. But I say, does anyone mind excellent idea being part of it? That does say this work group will do it.
Hell no, we don't need to do it.
No, actually it says once... No, it doesn't. It says once the work group is finalized,
yep,
a diagram should be developed. Would be developed. That's clearly someone else.
Mm.
So we have no problem with supporting it. Gone. It would be useful if I could see the column where people's hands are before I say that. Okay. Number 25, reduction in inconsistency will also help reduce trouble areas and perceptions. Points out that the comment submitted by AA is an example of one of the misunderstandings that exist, that trademark is somehow an exemption from renewal fees. Okay, so he's pointing out if people understood what they were doing, life would be a lot better. I don't know how we can argue with that.
I think we'd want to argue with that.
Do we know who AA was, and just out of curiosity?
That'll be a no.
AA. There is nobody named AA who submitted anything to the comment period. So I don't know who it is. Do we have anything we can write as our response other than that would be nice? Actually, he's starting off with saying reduction in inconsistency would help.
It echoes some of the calls for predictability in the outcome, or an outcome that gives end users and registrants predictability as to what they'll be expecting in the dynamic once they...
And what did we respond to? ALAC said, asked for predictability. And... We didn't really answer it.
Yeah, well, why am I not surprised?
Okay, no, well, that's something we need to go back with. And I think on this one, I think that we should go back either on this call or the next one and try to address both of them at the same time.
Yeah, I think some of these can be sort of responded to, you know, jointly rather than...
Yeah, I think on the ALAC comments, we got so distracted on do two of the things with regard to email addresses oppose each other that we never actually went back to the question. It was the last, I think it was the last one we did that time. So I think we need to go back and talk about the substance of it, not the the minutia. 26, many problems could be avoided if time and energy focused on encouraging registrants to do more active housekeeping on their remains prior to expiry. Michaeli's not, it's a comment from Michaeli. It's not on, he's not on this call. I'm not quite sure whose time and energy he's talking about there. I would suggest we defer that one until he can elaborate. Oh, objection 27. Proposal for the creation of a consumer education, perhaps sponsored by ICANN, around the expiration of domain names. I think that's a noted and agreed, because one of the items we have pretty well consistently agreed to is we need education. It probably should be something defined and created by ICANN, and registrars would somehow point to it. So I don't think we need anything other than noted and agreed. Again, one of our relatively few points of consensus in this group. No comment? Press ahead. How are we doing on time? We're 3/4 of an hour in. The initial report seemed to assume that registry auto-renew practices are the same for all registries, which is not the case, as, for example, there are known differences when auto-renews are charged. My recollection is the report did note that.
I thought so.
Because we noted it perhaps in an offhand way in saying something about most registries, but the rationale why we put most in there was differences like charge, like when they're charged. Jeff?
Yeah, no, Alan, you're correct. We were pretty clear about that in multiple times. It was pointed out explicitly, but we were clear about that. So I think that I would disagree with this or whatever we want to say, but it's as they say, it's in there.
Yeah, my recollection is we used words like most because of the rationale, but we didn't necessarily put the rationale in there, so it might not have been read that way, and that may require some clarification in the wording of the report because of that. But certainly our discussions reflected that. Ron?
Yes, this is Ron. The column for attribution seems blank in this one. Should that be blank or... not?
I'm sure it shouldn't be blank, and my recollection is it's the registry in any case.
Okay.
But that looks like it's an omission. And our guardian angel, when she lists this call, I'm sure will fix it. Okay, redemption grace period, number 29. There are a number of assumptions. I'm not going to try to read this out loud. I'll give everyone 30 seconds to scan it. Okay, my response to it, my personal response to it, would be that they are correct that the original assumptions are no longer valid. There is nevertheless merit in maintaining the process, even though it no longer guarantees the ability to renew a name as it did originally. Any other thoughts on this? Sorry, Mikey.
I think you, it works better if you read the next one. I think, in a way, 29 and 30 are...
together.
Are together. Because the 29 is sort of teeing it up, and then 30 is suggesting what to do about it.
Well, I think 29 was questioning whether, given that the world has changed around the RGP, is the RGP still something that we need, given that the world, the environment has changed, and it can no longer be the guaranteed last resort to redeem a domain name. And my reaction to that is whether, you know, the world has changed, but it still seems to have some application given the moderately large number of people who are still using the RGP to redeem names.
Well, I guess all I'm saying is that in 30, they're implying that the way to fulfill the original expectation is blah, blah, blah.
No, I don't.
So, you know, assuming that they support the original expectation, that may be an error on my part.
Well, I'm not sure these two statements agree with each other. The original intentions was that it be the court of last resort to get a domain name back. Right now, you may never get to that court, so it can't be effective.
But I think that's a reasonable comment on the part of the working group, but I think in terms of those two statements, 29 and 30, really go together. That's all.
Yeah, I guess my response to 30 would be that it may be impossible to fulfill the original intentions, but we agree, you know, but there is some consensus, certainly if you look at the survey responses, that it should be a consensus policy, even though it cannot fulfill what its original intent was. That doesn't mean the consensus policy part of it is invalid.
That's going to take some parsing. It seems to me that if you've got something that you can't do anymore because of a change in the world, and people, even sophisticated people like the registries, think that they can, given their number 30, then we've got more work to do.
Well, I'm not quite sure how to read in order to fulfill the original intentions, provided they are still valid. I'm not sure how intentions can be valid. So, anyone else help us out here? Apparently not.
Let me summarize.
Okay, please.
Be very careful. There be dragons.
At the end of the world.
Well, certainly we cannot put the original intention back in place within the consensus, within the scope of this PDP. That goes back to the one that we deemed to be out of scope. And that is, domain names, the deleted domain names should go back into a pool. The fact that they don't go back into the pool removes the ability of fully implementing the original intentions. And that is out of our scope. So, but within the scope of our policy, we can take measures to try to make it closer to the original intentions than it is today. I agree. I don't know how to phrase the words.
I think a carefully worded draft looked at on the list is going to be warranted, but, you know, I think these two go together in that way. And, you know, if in fact we're saying that the original intent of the RGP is out of our reach, the second one then might be moot. But I think we have to write some language that acknowledges that this is tricky.
I mean, the position that we've taken in the group, certainly some of us in this group, have said that even though the RGP cannot do what it may have been, I'm not sure intention is the right word, the belief that it would do something was there, and it will no longer satisfy the expectations of the original belief. That doesn't mean it still doesn't have merit. I mean, stop signs don't guarantee that someone stops at a stop at the corner, but it does increase the chances that they stop. All right, since Marika isn't here to say she needs more clarification on it, we're going to assume that we've given her something to do a draft on, and then we'll try to critique it. And number 31, our last item, I think, yes?
No.
Did I skip a page?
No, I've got 32.
You have 32.
I do.
Ah, sorry, two pages stuck together. Okay. Thank you. It's a good one, too. 31, from Mr. Frakes. Some registrars appear to invoice for the renewal of a domain name that has already been transferred out before expiration. As part of the responsible renewal notice process, registrars should be required to check the registry that they are still, in fact, the registrar of record for a name before sending out any billing materials. My inclination would be to follow up on this with him and find out if this is an isolated case and what the delay is. I mean, within any largely automated operation, there is going to be a period of time when you create the database to when you actually carry the actions, and there will be things that slip between the cracks. I'm inclined to wonder whether this is something which, if it's a 6-month period, clearly it's broken. If it's something less, Jeff, Mikey or Jeff, whoever had their hand up first, I wasn't watching.
Mikey, you can go ahead.
Okay. I just think this one's out of scope. I don't think this has anything to do with post expiration recovery. This might be question for I don't know who, but I think we'd note it and say thanks.
Question that sort of goes along with slamming, but not quite.
Note it and pass it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, out of scope, but noted, and okay. Noted, but out of scope.
Jeff?
No, that pretty much covers what I was going to say. I was going to say that seems like it could be a problem. I don't see how it could be a problem, but I hate to say it. It's not an issue for this working group. I don't even know how that could possibly happen, but unless someone's doing everything by pen and paper and not by a database and a computer system, but as I said, not an issue for this working group, probably for like the Better Business Bureau or some other.
I know how it happens. It happens the same way as I get a notice from my credit card company saying you haven't paid the bill yet, and at the bottom it says, oh, by the way, if you've already paid by the time you get this, thank you. If your processes are completely integrated into your dynamic real-time database, it won't happen. On the other hand, if you extract the ones that you have to renew and there's a gap when it still could be transferred, one could easily see how it happens. Whether it's a problem or not depends on how often it happens and what the delay is.
It certainly has happened in my portfolio with organisations such as Melbourne IT, who last time I checked weren't using pen and paper. They've certainly invoiced me for names that I've already transferred to others well inside of the period. So, yeah, it happens, but it's not our bailiwick.
Yeah, okay. Number 32, the following issues should be explored in detail, and I think we want to take these one by one because it's a very large laundry list. Adequate documentation of the expiration process,
current and proposed models. I'm not quite sure how we're going to adequately document the current one any better than we already have, and the future one we've already agreed is a good idea in a previous comment. Now, it's not clear whether they're, when they say the expiration process, it's not clear to me whether they're talking about the individual expiration process per registrar or the one mandated by ICANN. Barry's not on the call, but...
This is Mikey. I'll be Barry's surrogate today.
Okay.
You know, I think at a minimum, the ICANN policy version of the process should be better documented than it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're getting on thin ice when we're talking about documenting every registrar's process. I'm almost tempted to troll that in front of James and Paul and see if they're still on the call, but I think we'd get a bite on that one.
No. They're doing their own stock portfolios. It's all right. They're paying attention, just not to this.
Whether it's outrageous to say we should do this for the registrar. Sorry, Mikey, you talk.
It worked. Hooray. So, you know, I think what we're gunning for here, you know, Barry and I are the CBUC for all intents and purposes on this. The rest of the constituencies pretty much sleep on this one. You know, what we're carping on is our usual thing, which is that this process is very confusing and not very well documented, and any way we can make that better is a good thing.
And what's the group's response to this?
I like the responses in the chat.
Fair enough.
I am a very bad man.
I think all of us.
We've already said the chat forms part of the record of this call.
Fine. That's okay. This is good. Look, I mean, I'm going to say the same thing probably for each of the points that the CBUC has raised, and that is, you know, from an end-user perspective, yeah, hell yeah. All makes good sense, and yes, I agree. But, you know, it goes to a greater detail and specificity to the overarching desire that the ILAC comments made, which were, you know, consistency and predictability and something that we understand, read, and have knowledge of.
Yeah, I agree with Cheryl. Alan, I don't think we need to go through these all individually. Even I will be doing Z's into the chat if we do that.
Is that the general will of the community? I'm not sure that's going to help Marika write anything. I mean, for instance, the second one, change confusingly similar terms, so we don't use the same words in two different ways. I would support that 100%, and I would hope everyone on this group we'd get complete consensus on that. And we might not on the previous one.
Are we
going to test for consensus on this very small call, or are we just going to acknowledge this and fold it into our next draft?
I thought our obligation is to try to give a response, and if everyone's happy saying hell yes to this whole thing on the whole, I'm happy with it. But I don't think we're going to get consensus even on this call that everything should go to a thick registry model.
Let's see what Jeffrey
and it's,
cer-
and it's certainly and it's certainly out of our scope. James or Jeff, whoever is first.
I think Jeff was ahead of me.
Okay, yeah, thanks. I personally think that second bullet point is I would vehemently vote against it just because those changed their confusingly similar just because they have the word auto and renew in them, but they are two completely different terms. They have two completely different meanings. Just because they have a similar number of letters in them does not make them confusingly similar. They're completely defined terms that mean separate things. So I wouldn't say going through these and saying, you know, each one of these one by one, and I don't know if we'll get consensus or, you know, on each one, but I kind of agree with Mikey on, I don't know if it would be worth it going through every single one of these and if that would help. But, you know, just as an example, though, but for the second one, I mean, we're going to have issues with all. Like, I totally disagree with that they're not confused. For me, they're not confusingly similar, and they have two distinct meanings. So I think, you know, the education process, that's a separate issue, but changing terms for people, you know, that are industry-established terms is not the right thing to do here for something like this. Sorry if I sort of jumped around a little bit there.
I guess I would disagree completely that changing the auto-renew grace period to registry auto-renew grace period or something like that, I would think would make eminent sense because these terms are used in registration agreements, and they are confusing to users. But let's go ahead, James.
If we can start changing terminology, I have a laundry list or a wish list of things I'd like to change, but that's probably a story for another day, especially around transfers. I just want to make a comment here, and I know Barry's not on the call, and so I'll kind of, you know, aim it slightly in Mikey's direction here, is that without diving into the substance of each of these bullet points floated out there by the CBUC, I wanted to point out that we're really dealing or acknowledge that there's a conflicting mandate going on here in that, you know, we're being asked as registrars to clarify, specify, describe, provide consistency and things like that, which is also, you know, is a very noble pursuit, but then we're also being accused of burying important things into overly lengthy registration agreements, which is also a noble pursuit, but the two are somehow, at least on some level, incompatible, and at least that's my opinion, and I wanted to put that out there, that, you know, the more that we push into overloading those types of registration agreements, I think the more we open ourselves up to that accusation that we're, we're giving somebody War and Peace, in the checkout process and expecting them to have read it before they click through and enter their credit card number. So, you know, I just wanted for this group to consider that that's a balance that needs to be struck, and it's something that I think that we should keep in mind as we examine these calls to clarify and document certain things. Thanks.
And I'm assuming James raising his hand again is an error? Okay.
No, he's probably trying to put his microphone
lower
down.
My
he
hand.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Because the hand changes to a microphone, and then we try to lower it, and then it raises it again.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what's the will of this group? I've heard everyone say we don't want to go over them one by one. I'm not sure quite how that helps formulate the response for it. Cheryl, you're the one who said let's respond to them all, hell yes. But I don't think we're going to get a consensus on that.
Well, James has. He's got his hand up again. I won't give him a microphone so he can wave his hand.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm thinking that when we say we don't want to go through them one by one, I think we're saying in the here and now, but certainly we could copy these to the list and go through them there, or perhaps, dedicate a separate call for just this particular comment.
Okay, we do have to go back to one or two others, and it would be nice to have Barry on the call, because if nothing else, it was a 15-page document, and this summary may not be doing justice to what was actually being said.
I think that's very fair. Mikey?
Yeah, this is Mikey. I think the other thing is that a lot of these, you know, we should probably tease apart and see whether they're already addressed in the in the existing document. You know, I think we touch on some of these. A lot of these look familiar to me. I think that some of these came from a document that I wrote. And, you know, what I was doing when I wrote that document was really trying to come up with some really granular examples of things. And so it wouldn't kill me if... I'm often accused of getting us down into too low a level of detail, and this is starting to look a little bit like that. So I'm pretty comfortable with lumping these together for now, checking to make sure that some of them haven't already been addressed by the document, and if there are any that are sort of high enough level that are worthy of debate,
so we'll say put this into homework, and we'll revisit it hopefully when Barry is on the call. Or do you want to try to do it on the list, as James suggests?
No, I have
we haven't been real good at doing things on the list in this working group. We could change.
What else do we need to go back to, Alan?
There was the ALAC comment that we didn't really answer.
Yeah. And what else? Anything else?
I don't...
24 and 25, I believe. This is Ron.
Yeah, there's... well, 25 went back to 17. 24, I don't really remember what we said. We said we would defer 26, though, which is McHaley's comment. That we should have we should put time and energy into encouraging registrants to do the right thing.
And the 24, which was the diagram, we did agree with because it was going to be our job.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah.
The only reason I asked is if that's clear in an agenda, then people can you know, and in an advanced agenda, then people can prepare the homework. And if there's some, you know, drafting to be done, then we can just sort of jump straight into it.
Okay.
You know, in some ways, they're going to be addressing or looking at fairly similar sorts of issues, just by accident, certainly not by design. And so we might be able to formulate some text where text is required to the new report, and we can refer to where we believe it is covered in the report, you know, in a next meeting.
Okay, I will try to extract to email a list of the things that are still pending from this, from the overall review. The next meeting, we also have a part of it, but certainly won't be the whole thing, in finalizing the reviewing the analysis of the survey, of the public comment survey. Just to restate what I said in my email, that Barry did do his part relatively quickly, and I was supposed to finish summarizing comments, and it didn't get done, but it will get done well before next week. On the assumption that Barry will be with us next week, can we schedule the next meeting for that time?
What time is
Ron?
Well, I had a separate point that I wanted to bring up, but yeah, our next meeting would be fine with me. So.
Okay. Is there any other mass exodus next week that would preclude us from having a meeting?
I'm just trying to work out what time it will be where I am.
Where will you be?
Well,
we will be busy.
And I don't think we will be available, will we, James?
We will not.
No. So we won't be here. Enjoy yourselves.
Oh, congratulations,
okay.
James, on your new gig. I forgot about that. I wanted to say thanks a lot for taking that on.
I didn't hear that. When did James go on to that group?
We'll see if you feel the same way in 6 months, Mikey.
James is part of the Who Is, whatever it's called.
Oh, but
I
thought it was the ATRT.
He's also, he's an adjunct to Warren.
Ah. How are you? Oh.
Okay, I didn't know that.
It's
all right. Well, it'll be 2:30 in the afternoon in Boston.
And we won't be playing. We'll be playing with each other. We will be ATRT. We will not be dealing with this lot.
James and Cheryl playing with each other.
There's an image. Do what you like with it.
That's all just became interesting.
Would the two of you prefer us to defer or go on without you?
That's going in the chat record, dang damn it.
That little comment's going to be transcribed and translated, so that's always at work, folks.
And Cheryl.
Well, you see, we are looking forward to working more closely with industry in the world of that large, so that's fine.
The question stands, would you prefer us to defer or to go on without you?
My care factor is really, really, really low right now.
I'll just say that I'm confident that the other registrars, just as we are carrying on for Mason and McKaylee this week,
yes.
That those guys who had a good time in Prague.
All right, executive decision is assuming Barry can join us because he is needed.
Keep on going.
Then we keep on going. If not, we'll do it in 2 weeks. Anything else? Ron, you said you had something else to cover?
Yes. If I could go back to the comment that Mikey posted, the quote of bringing up the aspect of suggesting that the ICANN community support structured, funded mechanisms for the collection and maintenance of best practices. And
the RAP, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what... I think our group might benefit by a discussion of that formalization of best practices. If that means anything like what best practices, or what I think best practices sort of turns out to mean from a point of view of viewing from U.S.-centric things, but there are things where it's delegated to government bureaucracies to formulate these best practices, and then people are in the regulatory environment, you're held accountable for not following the best practice, even though it's not a legislative thing. And legislative may be more like consensus agreement. And so I'm wondering on the topics that are within scope of PEDNR, where there's been a reluctance to put things as consensus, is there really a welcoming of that form of best practices reduced to enforceable detail that you have less control of than you would have if you did have consensus where you directly participate in?
I guess I would ask the question first of, if it's not a consensus policy with whatever penalties are in the RAA or in the registry agreement identified, what is the mechanism by which that is enforced?
But if it's funded and, you know, create funded, you know, support structured funded mechanisms, those sound like things that are enforceable.
But they're enforceable, but they might come into existence by
a different mechanism.
Mikey's trying to talk.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, actually, a bunch of folks on this call were on that working group, so if I, if I transgress, guys, let me know. But we aren't talking about anything enforceable here. What we were talking about is just what's in that recommendation, which is to say collect them and support them so that they're readily available to one and all. Because what we found was that there were, you know, lots and lots of opportunities for people to exchange these, but there wasn't really a good, stable, funded vehicle for them to do it. But there is no not a shred of enforcement in the recommendation.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
And I assume that's Mikey trying to lower his hand, yes.
He is.
Yeah,
sorry. They're all so damn neat, you see.
We're
yeah,
very
well,
tidy.
We spent a year and a half training people. All right, people are dropping off. Jeff and James have dropped off the call. I would say we have a meeting scheduled for next week. Unless Barry can't make it, I'll check with him to verify that he will be able to. And I thank you it was a good meeting.
Bye.
We have somehow survived without Marika. But I don't encourage us to try again.
But you haven't seen what's going to be the result of her trying to cobble what we've said into some semblance of order.
I said we've survived so far. Survival isn't guaranteed. Thank you all. Paul is back now. Thank
Bye
you all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.